McCall versus the United States.
May it please the court, Mr. Simpkins. My name is John Womack. I'm the attorney for the plaintiff. It's a real party interest in this case. It's Joseph Betts, Jr. Joseph is a minor born at Centerville Hospital a few years back at a time when the doctor didn't bother to come to the delivery, has been brain damaged since the delivery. It's a Federal Tort Claims Act case. The issue is whether the failure to bring the suit within 2 years after the letter had been brought within a two-year statute bars the claim. The facts are that the administrative claim was filed timely. The suit was not filed timely thereafter. The issue seems to me to be how the term accrue is defined in the Act. When does the child's claim accrue? The issue is then, I think, whether the discovery rule applies, and if it applies, does it apply equally to incompetent and to minors? I think the issue was phrased by Judge Posner in this court in the Crawford case. He said if the running of the statute of limitations depends on what the particular plaintiff actively knew, given his mental incapacities, the discovery rule would swallow most of the provisions related to tolling, at least for disabilities that affected cognition and were in existence at the time of the accident. I guess what I'm asking you to do is swallow the rule. The Supreme Court in Kubrick did hold that the discovery rule applied. Judge White clearly defined the issues in that case as to not whether the discovery rule applied, but when it applied, whether it applied when the plaintiff knew of the injury and its cause, or whether he knew of the injury and its cause and also that it was malpractice. He held that it was the first, that it began to run when the plaintiff knew or should have known of the injury and its cause.
In this case, aren't we concerned about what obviously the parents knew?
No, sir, because parents don't have any legal obligation of any kind to do anything. There's a whole line of cases out there that say that, but none of those cases give any valid legal reason at all for it. The statute says it's under the law of the form that controls, and Illinois law does not have any law.
So this should stay open until the child's 18?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. There's no reason not to. This court, Judge Posner, in talking about that issue here in Crawford.
Doesn't the grandmother, who's the guardian of the estate, have a duty?
Oh, yes, sir. But the guardianship was appointed within the time period.
And when was she appointed? What date?
I'm not sure exactly, Judge, but it was clearly within the time period. She was not appointed until I became involved in the case. And by then, the two-year period had run.
Pardon?
Not, by the time she was appointed, the two-year time period would have run. When I got involved in the case,
she appointed earlier.
I'm sorry?
Why wasn't she appointed earlier?
I have no idea. I assume that the mother or no one else took it upon themselves to do that. But there was no, there are lots of cases out there, I don't deny that, that say that the parent has an obligation. But if you read those cases, and I'm sure you have and I have, they are not based on any logic or any law. There's an implication that parents have a duty. And Illinois does not require that. As a matter of fact, public policy in Illinois is to discourage children from suing their parents. And here, if the mother had a duty to bring a claim and didn't, that would be the only recourse. Yeah, the question you ask, I know it's a hard one, and I know that's what I'm asking you to do is a difficult thing to do. But yeah, if the discovery rule applies,
do you have any case that supports your theory?
I'm sorry.
Do you have any case law that supports your theory?
My theory about the duty of parents,
That it isn't the duty of the guardian or the parents.
Yeah, no, there's two separate issues. Clearly, a guardian would have a duty.
Right.
No question about that. If
and
a guardian,
the guardian didn't do it timely.
The guardian here wasn't appointed. The guardian here, after the guardian was appointed, did take action.
Right, but not timely.
She she couldn't have because she wasn't appointed until that time. The grandmother has no legal duty. Once the grandmother was appointed, she immediately filed.
So do you think it was the hospital's obligation to see that the guardian was appointed so that they could be sued, or what? What's your theory?
My theory is that this is a handicapped child, brain damage because of what the government did to this child.
But the parents and the grandparent knew that, didn't they?
I don't know if the grandparent did or not. I know what the mother knew, and the mother
right.
didn't.
And didn't she have a duty then?
No, sir. There is no legal duty in Illinois that requires, and you can't cite me a case, nor can anybody else, I cite a case to the contrary in the brief, that requires a mother or a father to file a lawsuit. There are 10 or 15 cases that have been cited by the defense that say that, and I've read those cases. Not a single one of them cites a statute or a case law that holds this court. Nobody can tell me of a case anywhere in the United States that says a parent has a legal duty to bring suit on behalf of his child.
What about the concept of leaving it open then until 18? Doesn't that create a problem just as far as witnesses and everything else is concerned?
Of course it does, but that is the law throughout the country. Minors have always been protected. In this case, I'm not sure it's relevant because I think it should apply to minors. But in this case, we have not just a minor, but a minor that's rendered incompetent by the actions of the government.
Well, obviously, the parent doesn't have a duty to sue if they don't want to sue.
But if they don't,
or the grandmother doesn't, if she doesn't want to sue.
That's correct.
But if she does want to sue, or they do want to sue on behalf of the child, they have to begin it timely.
Well,
they have to
but
commit.
The question is does the failure of the mother, for whatever reason, she doesn't want to, or she's stupid, or she's ignorant, or she doesn't know, or doesn't care, for whatever reason. One of the cases cited by the defense is Zavala, where the child was abandoned. The question is, does the actions or inactions of the mother legally bind the minor child? And there is no law in the United States, not any law anywhere, that says that. There's not any law anywhere that says that a mother can't, in Illinois, for example, a mother can't settle a child's case. If the child had a lawsuit and the mother wanted to settle it herself, she couldn't. She'd have to file a petition with the court, get court permission, and then settle the case. Case law and statutory law require that. And the reverse of that has to be true as well. There is just no law anywhere. If these cases sort of rose up, but they rose up out of the whole cloth. There's no legal basis for it. There's no logical basis for it. If an adult is rendered incompetent by the actions of the government, the statute is told. You ask 18 years. It could be told for 30 years. It could be told for 50 years. The case law, the Washington case, cited by both of us in our brief, and cited in the Crawford case as well, talks about the patient being rendered comatose by the actions of the doctor. And yeah, it would be inconvenient. It would be difficult. It would be hard to do. But that's difficult and hard to do. Things are done in every day. In malpractice case, there isn't anything.
You're
that's
into
not difficult
your rebuttal time, sir.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Robert Simpkins. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Illinois, and I handled the case in the lower court. First off, I would like to point out that this case has nothing to do with accrual. During the hearing, final hearing on the motion to dismiss that the government filed, it was stipulated and agreed by the parties that this plaintiff, through her grandmother, sought legal counsel in February of 1996, some 5 months after the cause of action accrued, and sought the services of a well-established medical malpractice attorney in St. Clair County, Illinois. And not only did they seek the services of this attorney, a suit was filed in St. Clair County, Illinois, and for reasons that I'm not aware of and Mr. Womack is not aware of, that suit was dismissed. It was only until May 11th of 1999 that somebody finally filed an administrative claim claiming that government doctors were negligent in this case.
How does the government doctors acquire this lady as a patient?
The government doctors, the Southern Illinois Healthcare Foundation, treated this mother prenatally, and they're covered by what we refer to as the Community Health Centers Act, which is 42 U.S.C. 233, and that statute brought community health centers under the protective umbrella of the Federal Tort Claims Act in order to make sure that poor communities had physicians who could care for poor patients. And if a doctor is found to be negligent, he's covered by this act, the Federal Tort Claims Act.
So they're technically, government doctors, but they're actually in private.
For all intents and purposes, and for the purposes of this argument, Drs. Equilugo and Ballinger were, in fact, employees of the United States under the coverage of the Federal Tort Claims Act. What plaintiff is really trying to do in the argument here is to, or appellant is trying to make a fairness argument. He's arguing that infancy should toll the statute of limitations because it's told under state law, but federal law applies in this instance because we're dealing with the Federal Tort Claims Act, and Zavala states that up to and including the filing of the Administrative Tort Claims Act, federal law applies, and only after that does state law apply. Appellant goes one step further and makes the argument that if infancy doesn't toll the statute of limitations, then the fact that brain damage is alleged, that somehow should toll the statute of limitations. That's a disingenuous argument because infants are incompetent to begin with, and it doesn't make any difference whether we're talking about an injury that caused quadriplegia as opposed to an injury that caused brain damage. An infant is incompetent, and the case law is that somebody has to bring suit on behalf of that infant. And Zavala even states that if the infant is in fact abandoned by the parents, that doesn't toll the statute of limitations. And that
the implication of your earlier remarks is that maybe it ought to. And you mentioned that in this particular instance, this child apparently did have someone looking out for its interests. But I mean, is that should we limit the rule we articulate to a case like that?
Well, I don't think that based upon the facts as they stand in this case, this court has to rule whether infancy tolls the statute of limitations or infancy coupled with brain damage during labor and delivery tolls the statute of limitations because the grandmother and the parent did in fact within 5 months go seek counsel who did in fact file suit. So there's no accrual issue here, and there shouldn't be any argument about tolling any statute of limitations because they didn't wait 5 or 6 years. This is not a case where facts were unreasonably withheld or misrepresentations were made. There's no reason to, that's just not the case, and that is the gist of the government's argument.
So we don't need to address the situation where a child might be in the custody of abusive parents or a child might be in the custody of parents who themselves have a disability or something of that nature?
No, because the parents did in fact look out for the interests
of the child. Even though the Ninth Circuit apparently says it doesn't make any difference.
Well, if... Correct. And other than that, Your Honors, unless there are any other questions, the government...
I have a question for you. When was that first suit filed? What date and where?
I do not know.
Well, how do you know it was filed?
Because it was stipulated during the motion to dismiss that sometime after February of 1996...
Sometime after?
Yes.
Up until 2002 or what?
Well, it wouldn't make... It could have been. I don't know.
Well, you said it was 5 months after the event.
5 months after the event, the parent went to a medical malpractice attorney to have the case investigated.
Right.
And that does away with any discovery argument or argument that the cause of action didn't
occur. Did that attorney file a suit?
Yes.
And where did he file it?
She filed it in St. Clair County, Illinois.
Okay.
She filed it against the hospital and the nurses, not the government doctors. That suit was dismissed, and then on May 11th, 1999, that attorney filed an administrative claim.
That same lawyer?
Yes. Alleging negligence on the part of the government doctors.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Did the defense make the argument that this case has nothing to do with accrual, and we get back to the actions of the parents? Kubrick says that the discovery rule applies. It says it applies when the plaintiff knows, or under those circumstances should know, of the existence of a cause of action. There is not in this. If the discovery rule applies, if the Supreme Court is right in what they say, if that case is binding on this court, then the child, Joseph Best Jr., still isn't informed, because he is mentally incompetent and a minor, of what happened to him.
It's pretty difficult to inform a 2-year-old child, even if they were competent.
Sure it is, and that's why most statutes throughout the country have protection for minors until they attain the age of 18. To carry it a step farther, to say that the child is bound by the actions or inactions of a mother, is not based on any existing law anywhere in the United States. The defense referred to the federal law.
Do you have
law.
Any comments, or do you agree that there was an action brought?
Oh,
there's no doubt. What?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Do you agree that there was an action brought 5 months after the event?
It wasn't 5 months after, but it was brought. Basically, what Mr. Simpkin, everything Mr. Simpkin says is true. It wasn't, the time period may be off, but I think what he said, and I think the facts are, a mother
filed a suit without filing a claim.
The mother retained an attorney,
right,
who filed suit against the nurses in the hospital and not against the doctor. And then at some point in time, that same lawyer filed a notice of claim within the 2-year time period, but didn't then go ahead and file the lawsuit.
Well, was there a guardian appointed to bring that suit?
No, sir. The guardian was appointed by me after I became involved in the case.
Appointed by you or by the court?
By the court, Your Honor, at my request.
How was the action brought there? Just in the name of the child?
No, the action was brought to by the mother as next friend, I believe, on behalf of the child. I was not involved in that. We found out about that after a long period of time when I took over the case.
Sounds like they have a malpractice suit against the original lawyer.
They may not. I don't know. I don't think they do, because I think we should still be in court. Thank you.
Court will take the case under advisement.